Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
God's Spirit has been in this place today. Heritage, do you smell the rain? Yes. I'm going to talk today about divine encounters. I am on this spiritual high. Several of our women went Friday night to an encounter. There were 99 women there, and I think there were 15 different congregations represented. And we just had a time of praise and worship and hearing God's word. And those of you that came, I'm just so thankful for that. Those of you that weren't able to, I just really want you to sign up for our women's conference in October here at Heritage. There's just something special when we all come together. Today we're going to talk about divine encounters, the ones that we have with God, and then the divine encounters that God wants us to be a part of in his people. When I was in junior softball league, I had these two coaches that I dearly loved. That would have been from age 10 to probably 13. And they just were fun, and I just loved going to practice and games, and we would carpool. And they weren't in church, but I just liked them. So I said to my softball coaches, you know, I sing on Sundays. And they said, we heard you do. And I said, would you want to come sometime and listen? And I didn't know this until much later, but my mom was in the stands and my dad, and somebody said that to him that wasn't a believer, if you two can get those two in church, I'll believe in Jesus. So I just said, will you come hear me sing? They came, and they came again, and they came again. And they gave their heart to Jesus. And we went to church together for years. We are still dear friends. Just because I just liked them. And I wanted them to be with me. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 talks about how we are to be salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In order for us, church, to be salt and light to the world, we first have to have that divine encounter. We first have to have that time to be saved where we surrender to Jesus. You know, I like how The Chosen puts it when they give their simple testimony. One of them says, you know, I was this way, and I met Jesus, and now I'm different. That should sum it up. If we want to be salt and light to the world, there has to be a line in the sand for each of us that says, I was here, but now I'm over here. In Nicodemus, John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Sanhedrin. He was on the ruling council. He had it made. He wore fancy robes that everybody noticed when he walked by. He had honor. He had respect. He was the teacher. They went to him seeking advice. He felt like they were better than everyone around them. And then Jesus shows up, and Nicodemus has this stuff going on the inside of him. But he didn't have enough nerve to go by day. He had to go by night to speak to Jesus. And we don't read that he changed right away, but where Scripture brings it back is, he went to get Jesus' body off of the cross and give it a proper burial. Nicodemus had his line in the sand. I would love to know the life that Nicodemus lived when he went in the daytime to bury Jesus' body. In Luke chapter 5, we talk about Peter. When Peter had his divine encounter, Peter was fishing. He knew fishing. He had fished all his life. He came from generations of fishing. And he's in there, and this Jesus walks by, and he says, "Cast your nets down." Jesus, we've done this all night. Just cast your net. So there was something in Peter that he listened. And Peter knew, this is what I love about Peter, his first encounter with the Lord, when the fish spread out, he knelt down and he said, "I am so sinful." Peter recognized in an instant that he was standing on holy ground in the presence of the Son of God. And you know who helped Peter had this encounter? His brother Andrew. His brother Andrew recognized Jesus. And because his brother Andrew recognized Jesus, he said, "Peter, you've got to come with me. You've got to come with me." Peter was the rock on which Jesus built his church. What if Andrew wouldn't have said, "Peter, come with me"? When is the last time, church, we have said, "Hey, neighbor, you've got to come with me. Coaches that I love, try this church out"? To help get people to their divine encounter. The woman at the well in John chapter 4. You don't go through Samaria. Jesus had an appointment with her, a shameful woman that none of the women wanted to be around. He had a divine appointment. He talked about to her, about her life, about her future, about her worship. And because of her line in the sand before Jesus and after I met Jesus, she forgot her shame and went into the city to tell everyone that she had met the Messiah. A person that couldn't even go in the morning and get water with the other women. She forgot that and told people about her divine encounters. God wants you and I to make the most of every opportunity. I want to read Romans chapter 12 from the Message. It says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." All right, how many of you have an ordinary life? How many of you sleep? How many of you eat? How many of you go to work? If you're retired, how many of you walk around? Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond. So this is what I think God wants us to do. When you go to work, I want you to get your big family Bible out, because if you have a little one, they might not see it. And then, since the church is really good at pointing fingers at some, I want you to get you a finger pointer. And so, on my everyday life, Mary, I'm a Christian. See my Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, set up straighter. You're not setting right. Okay. She's looking at me like, please don't come near me. You're good. You're good. Yeah. Don't talk like that. That isn't how Jesus wants you to talk. Okay? Go other places. That's where Jesus wants you to. All right. Do we see how ridiculous this is? And isn't it easy? Do you know how many times, and I'm going to raise my hand as well, because I've been in church 52 years. Do you know how many times I have done that? Pointed a finger in my head because I was unhappy with about something that was going on in the church? I want you, when you go to do that, I went to a women's group one time, and I was young. I was about 22, and somebody said, that woman needs help. She has a baby, and they're about to shut off her utilities. Let's pay her heating bill. And then someone did this. Well, you know, she wasn't even married when she had that baby. And you know, she doesn't go to church. And you know, and guess what? At the end of that meeting, they said, we're not paying her heating bill. I didn't go back to the next one. What does giving a baby and a person heat have to do with their lifestyle? Sometimes we just show the love of Jesus, and then we allow God to clean them up from the inside out. So if we want God to be a part of our everyday encounters, leave the family Bible at home. Leave your fingers that point away and just allow him to naturally work in those encounters. You say, I want to do that, but where do I begin? The first thing you do is you pray about it. You be watchful. You get up in the morning and you say, God, how can I help someone today? How can I show someone in my eating and sleeping and my working and my walking? How can I do that? One time I was in line at a grocery store, and you know how everyone is just so gentle and sweet when they're waiting in line. Just last week, I was in line, and a lady had a coupon, and the woman at the end said, come on! And I was like, I have a coupon. I'm afraid now. And so people aren't good at that. And I was behind this elderly couple, and they went to pay with cash, and they said, we don't take cash. And they didn't understand that, and she kept trying to explain it to them, and I could tell it wasn't getting through. So I took my credit card, I swiped it, paid for theirs, paid for ours. I said to Jim, sorry, I messed the budget up. I kind of spent double on groceries. They didn't know how to do it. And it says in here to quickly respond. Because if I wouldn't have swiped that card at right, I would have talked myself right out of it. Because at that time in our life, that money could have went a lot of different places. Okay? So when God puts that little something on your heart, do it right away. Recognize that it's God and respond quickly. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, in the NIV says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Everybody say, full of grace. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Are our words seasoned with grace? I sure like it when people talk to me that way. Pray that God will. Here's the thing that I'm new with you guys. I don't know all the history, so I just get to come in and don't make an appointment to tell me all of it, okay? I just get to come in and see you now how God sees you. Do you see that? Yeah, and where you've come. If you sometime want to tell me before you're lying in the sand, that's fine. But see people as God does. Also, be wise. Behave with integrity. Integrity is missing. We have parents shooting each other at a youth football game. 10-year-olds playing football like that's the most important thing on earth, and I am a football fan. My goodness, do we need people with integrity, especially the church. Let's make the church beautiful again so that people want to join us. Show kindness when the world does not. We had this neighbor. We were married when we went to Anderson University, and so we had this apartment, and it was literally four women that lived by themselves above us and then two college kids. So the landlord said, there are no assigned parking places. Park wherever you want. So I said, okay. So I parked here. I looked, and there was the lady, and she said, that is my parking spot. And I said, the landlord said, and she cut me right off, that is my parking spot. And I said, I'll move right away. Then she would stare at us. She had a fuzzy robe that she thought we couldn't see. And every time we pulled in, she would watch. If we had company, we got, maybe I shouldn't say this, the stink eye. Anybody ever have the stink eye? She just didn't like us. So I had a birthday party for Jim, and I invited my family, and I said to Mom, that lady is so mean to us, and we really didn't do anything. She goes, take her a piece of cake. And I'm like, take her a piece of Aunt Connie's cake that everybody loves. She said, take her a piece of cake. We took her a piece of cake. She must have thanked me three times for that cake. Her and I became the best of friends. And when we moved out, I had trouble packing because she kept coming in and hugging me. Do you remember that? Her unkindness was always greeted with people being unkind back. Do you see where I'm going with this? Try what Jesus would do and take the ugly and greet it with kindness. Our words need to be gracious, as I said, and flavored. You know, I've been in church since I was 52. And do you know that there's a handful of people in all those churches? I've been in church, that would be a day, right? I just got saved. No, I'm kidding. I have been in church for 52 years, and I will tell you a handful of people, when I would say good morning, they don't say good morning back. Have you ever had that happen? And a couple of them would like kind of grunt at me, and I'm thinking, surely we can do better. We can say good morning, and we can be considerate and not critical. And our words should be generous. If God puts on your heart to say to someone, thank you for doing that, you did a great job, please do it. People need that encouragement. Please do it. Tell Mary, what a great job. Who else would let kids have all those bells in the same room? Thank her for doing that. That was beautiful. Colossians 4 in the Message, the same what I just read. Pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ. Even while I'm locked up in this jail, pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others. Do you have a goal, bringing out the best in others? I want to close. The last thing is to build relationships. And I want to bring this to a close. On our street in Grand Rapids, in our 11 years, the neighbor on this side and this side and across the street ended up coming to church with us just because we built relationships with them. As you're building relationships, it's God's timing, okay? And God's timing is perfect. Sharon is here, and I was trying to pray on Tuesday for Keith Stone, who was in St. Luke's. I hadn't been to St. Luke's Hospital in probably 10 years. I've been to all the other ones. And I noticed they had an old parking garage and a new parking garage, so I thought, well, I probably go to the new one, but it's across the street. So I park my car, and I say to this guy sitting on a bench, I need to get to the main hospital. And he said, well, you're in the wrong place. I know that. Can you help me? He said, you're in the wrong place. So I got back in my car, and I went around, and I thought, oh, a worker. She had her scrubs on. I said, ma'am, I'm just trying to get to, you know, where the surgical waiting room at the hospital. She said, turn your flashers on and pull right into the emergency room. And I thought, that is bad advice. They'll think I'm having a heart attack or something. So I thought, I'm not asking anymore. I'm getting bad advice. And so I circled around, and then I finally, Sharon called, and she said, I'll meet you by the door. So Sharon came. I found a spot. Sharon comes out. We get locked out of the hospital. I thought, I am the worst pastor ever. I can't get to her to pray, and I've locked her away from her loved one who had surgery. We had to walk around to the other door. Okay, we went in. Now, why I'm telling you that, I remember saying to God, that was the most ridiculous 15 minutes of my life. But here's why. Here's why it was ridiculous. When we walked back in, guess what patient was coming around the corner? Keith. We had a nurse that was a believer, and she said to me, get in this elevator with us, the patient elevator, because I'll get you to a better place anyway. And I said, well, if we're in this elevator, we're going to pray. And did you see what the nurse did? She put her hand on Keith, and me and Sharon and the nurse prayed over Keith. And what did you tell me about Keith's procedure today? It is a miracle. It went much better. Now, I could have said to you, that was ridiculous. God kept wasting my time, sending me round and round, because if we wouldn't have been at that exact moment when she brought Keith around, we couldn't have all prayed together. Right. So salt and light, church, and being a part of divine encounters. Wake up and say, God, put me in the right place at the right time. And use me for your glory today.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.